Hi, my name's Nikaris. In this video, I'm going to demonstrate to you how you can use service scripts within mobile services to do things like validation and data modification on the server side. What we'll do is we'll take our existing to-do item application that we built in the first part of the data series, getting started with data, and we'll extend that to add a service script that's going to validate the to-do items that we're passing up, as well as add a created app timestamp. So you'll note here that we can see that I've already got my to-do item mobile service. Now let's quickly familiarize ourselves with the client application, such that if you haven't watched the prior video, you know what we're doing. So this is a simple quick start getting started with data application. The to-do list, we can add items, such as watching a tutorial. And we can add another item here, as so. Now you'll see that I've already got some items in there from the first part of this series. What I'd like to do is I'd like to validate the length of this item that we're inserting to our mobile service. So let's have a look at how we can do that with server-side script. So within the Windows Azure portal, click into your mobile service. In the Data tab, we'll find our tables. We've already got our to-do item table. We can see that it's got a number of items that we added previously. To-do item one, here's one that was complete, so I wasn't shown, and there's the two new ones we added. Let's have a look at how we can use Service Script to perform some validation on the server side. Selecting the Script tab, you can see that we've got this drop-down, this operation drop-down. This allows us to write server-side script that will execute as the data is passed up to the server side within the CRUD operation pipeline. So we can actually intercept insert operations, update, delete, and read operations. Today we're going to look at the insert operation. You can see that it passes in a number of parameters here. The first parameter, item, is the item to be inserted. So this would be our to-do item. The user is the user object, which represents the authenticated user, and the request object. Now the request object allows us to do a couple of interesting things. The first one, request.execute, will perform the operation that's being requested. In this case, an insert. So as soon as this executes, it's going to go and insert the item that's being passed in. You can also write to the response stream with this, such as, say, writing back a status code of bad request. So let's add some validation here. I'm going to say if item.text.length is less than 5 characters, then I'd like to consider that this is an invalid task or to-do item. So let's say in this case, we want to write to the response stream, request.respond, and I'm going to use status codes, bad request. I'm going to provide an error message saying, to-do item must be more than 5, well, we should get this right, shouldn't we? 5 or more characters long. So in the case that it's incorrect, I don't want to insert it. I just want to return that bad request to the client application. Let's put an else in here and say if it is 5 or more characters, then we'll insert the item. By hitting save, this change is automatically live within our mobile service. So already our mobile service is running and will execute this script as we insert items. So let's have a look at that in action. So if I go and enter an item that's 5 characters long, this will be successful and it'll insert that data. You can see that's there like that. If I go back to 4 characters long and hit save, what will happen is we'll get that bad request exception back to the client. And if we drill into the error, we can see that we have the to-do item must be 5 or more characters long. And you'll see that this is a mobile service invalid operation exception. Let's have a look at how you handle that on the client side. So what we'll do is we'll go in and we'll add some handling for that exception that's returned. So we'll come to our insert statement, say try, and we'll take our content here, drop it in, and catch that mobile service invalid operation exception. And within here, you can handle it however you want for your specific application. But in this case, let's just pop up a message box to see what's returned. So we're going to show the response content, and perhaps we'll string format in something like maybe status description, and then maybe what HTTP response code it was. And let's go and, of course, put in those fields, status description, and eval response, status code, say message box button, just have an OK button there or something like that. So there we go. With that, we can now see what's coming back in that response. So you can use these. Perhaps you'll use the e.response status code to determine how you handle that error. In this case, we're sending back bad request, so let's put something in less than 5, hit save. And you'll see bad request HTTP 400, and there's our error message. So that's there and available for you to consume in your client application. So we've added server-side script for validation, but what about, you know, those dev cycles that you've got where you may be going and working on the project and perhaps you need a new field? Let's have a look at how easy it is to add a new field to your solution in server-side script. So within the portal, what we can actually do here is we can do a number of things. We can manipulate data. We could perhaps change the text property data. Or we may also want to add new columns altogether. I'm going to show you how you can add a new column. Say item dot maybe created at is equal to new date. So server-side script will use what's called dynamic schema to go off and create a created at column within our backend data store, being our Azure SQL DB, automatically for us. So with that simple change, items will be automatically added to our backend. In this case, it's going to be created at column of dot date time. So let's run this and have a look. Let's close off a couple of these. Let's say with created at, hit save. Now, if we come back to the portal and return to browse our data, see that magically we've got our created at column added, and we've got the current date and time for that item. What about using this data on the client side? Let's have a look at how we can extend our client side model to make use of this new created at column. So, returning back to my main page in MLCS, if you recall in the prior video, we talked about our entity, the to-do item that we're persisting over the wire. So let's add the created at column, public date time, and there's some null values in the server side. Let's call it created at, getting a set in there. And now on the server side, we actually used a lowercase c. Just by convention in JavaScript, it's nicer to work like that. So let's tell our serializer on the client side that we want to serialize that up as created at. And with that, now we've got a created at property. So we can actually start using this within our queries and the client side code. So the first thing I want to do is perhaps I want to only return back items where the to-do item created at field is not equal to null. The next thing that I may want to do is to actually data bind that created out field to my UI. So let's go back to the main page, scroll down. Got some code here, which basically binds a text block to the created out value of the entity or list of entities that's returned. And with that, we're now ready to run this and see that our list will be filtered to only those items that have a created out value. And that value will be shown on the UI. So you can see there, there's our one item that has a created at value, and there's the value that was pushed up to the server side. So let's add one more item. Item 2, created at, and there it is there. Returning to the portal, and refreshing, we can see that we've got our second item within there, and it's only those two items that are shown within the list. So in this video, we looked at how you could create server-side script to intercept the CRUD operation pipeline. Now it's important to note that in this case we've done some very basic things. We've performed a little bit of validation, and we've also gone off and added a new column. Server-side script can be used for a lot more things than just this. You can, for instance, go out and call a web API or whatnot with HTTP. You could go off and perhaps use push.wns or push.mpns if you're using Windows Phone, if you want to deal with push notifications. And you can use other well-known Node.js modules, such as crypto and things like that. So it's certainly worth investigating what's available to you here, and a lot of this documentation is available to you on WindowsAzure.com. One thing I'd like to point out that's very useful when you're writing script here for the first time is this contextual help. Clicking into this, you'll actually see a list of things that you can do within server-side script, and it provides some helpful, handy code snippets. So there's an example of adding a field, create an app, which we did today, manipulating the response, validating data, authorizing users, sending push notifications, forming an outbound HTTP request. So with that, I hope that you've learned how you can use server-side scripts to improve the quality of your applications. Thank you for watching.